The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Lakeview Center.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Jake Walker. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I've got a very important topic. Please stay with us. We have Cindy McLaughlin. She's from the Lakeview Center Specialty Programs. She's the director of the specialty programs there at Lakeview, and she brought with her Maria Thompson, the assistant program director for Lakeview. Thank you guys so much for the work that you do. Thank you for joining me this morning. We're talking about a very serious topic that seems to be in the news pretty much every single morning. It's a constant news cycle now, and that's the opioid crisis. And specifically fentanyl overdoses, which now I think is topping the list for the cause of death for a lot of people in this country. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about opioids and now Narcan, which is a big word that I'm hearing. And I'm hearing also about dispensing, you know, like these machines dispensing Narcan. You know, it's really out of hand here lately. So let's talk about that. Cindy, thank you so much for being with me today. And Maria, thank you. Welcome to the show. Let's talk about your work. Let's talk about Lakeview Center. What is Lakeview Center? What do you guys do there?
Lakeview Center is behavioral health, but offers behavioral health services. We provide substance use treatment and mental health treatment and an assortment of other programs, and including our Global Connections to Employment and Families First Network are all part of the LifeView Group family.
And you're in the OPUS program, right, which stands for Overdose Prevention Underlying Services?
Yes.
Okay. So you're basically focused on the overdose problem.
Specialty programs kind of covers all of the programs that don't exactly fit under either substance use or mental health, the programs that are related but not exactly one or the other. So, yes, that's the overdose prevention is OPUS's primary focus.
Okay. And then right off the bat, I've heard this and I've heard people give me different reports on this. Can just coming into contact with fentanyl, just touching it or being around somebody that has maybe had an overdose and you're trying to help them, do you stand the risk of overdosing yourself or becoming sick from the fentanyl exposure?
That's a kind of yes and no question.
Okay, all right.
The yes part being that if you're in contact with it for a long time, over a long period of time, then yes, it's possible for it to eventually be absorbed through the skin and you can overdose. But if it's someone who's just coming into a quick one-time, short-term contact, then the likelihood of it being absorbed through the skin is low. Only if fentanyl has been mixed with alcohol or some other soluble liquid substance is it easily absorbed through the skin. Mm-hmm. So if it's just dry fentanyl alone, the chances of it being absorbed through the skin are low.
And I'll pose this question to both of you. It's, when fentanyl first became a household word, I think a lot of people just associated it with pills and powders.
Yes.
But that's not the case anymore, right?
No.
Right.
Yeah. So where are we seeing it otherwise?
Everywhere.
And it's laced with everything. Mm-hmm. Whether they, say, a marijuana smoker, they lace fentanyl within it. Mm. And any of their pills that they're encapsulating, they're making themselves, they're lacing it with fentanyl, and they're cutting their drugs with fentanyl.
Yes.
I'm amazed that people, especially untrained scientists and chemists who are creating these drugs on the black market, how they're actually living through that, handling such a dangerous substance and putting it into these drugs. I always ask myself, why? Why marijuana? Why put it in these other drugs?
To make the high better, basically. And it's really, for rational people, it doesn't make a great deal of sense, because you wonder why people would voluntarily use drugs that they know fentanyl is in. Mm. And actually, whenever we wind up having a new drug that's killing a lot of people, that tends to be the drug that people run to try. Because if it's killing people, it must be really good. Oh. So let's go try it. And I'm not going to die because it's not going to happen to me. That happens to other people.
Right. Yeah, I was watching a television program with my wife the other night, and a gentleman was talking about how his friend died from hitting a joint one time, mm-hmm. and it was laced, and you never know until mm-hmm. it's too late. And they didn't have anything there to save that person. And I believe in that one instance, and we'll talk about this too, people become afraid. When they see an overdose, they don't want to be prosecuted. They don't want to get in trouble. So sometimes it goes unreported for too long, and then the chance to save that person is done. True. So we'll talk about Narcan and the effects of that. But real quick, for people who don't know that much about fentanyl, where did fentanyl come from? Is this a previously prescribed drug? Is it still prescribed? What is it?
Was previously prescribed drug, still is prescribed, but for chronic and severe pain, like for cancer patients. Mm-hmm. And now it's been hijacked and is like you said, home chemists mm-hmm. are creating it themselves, or they're shipping it in from other countries. A lot of it's coming from China mm-hmm. into our country mm-hmm. And using it to, before they'd find all sorts of other substances to cut their drugs with. Now they're using a lot of fentanyl because it's cheaper and they can stretch the drug farther. So mm-hmm. they're cutting cocaine with it. They're cutting everything you can think of. They're cutting it with fentanyl.
And just a salt grain size portion, just a little granule, is enough to kill someone, right?
Yes.
Oh man, that's so dangerous. And it's likened to morphine. Is that probably the closest?
Yes, about the closest.
But much more potent. 100 times more potent. 100 times more potent. Wow, that is. Yeah,
so
scary.
For anyone who's actually had morphine and know the effects of that, you can kind of gives you a general idea of how strong fentanyl is. Mm.
So if you're someone that, you know, is taking a pill that's not prescribed to you, you have to think before you do that yes. nowadays. Even when, you know, using what we normally think of as, you know, not that dangerous of a drug, you know, yeah. recreational use of marijuana, things like that, it can be deadly. Just
what we see too many times also, especially with teenagers, is them taking pills that a friend's given them and thinking that it's just Tylenol or it's just something for a headache, you know, something innocuous.
Right.
And it winds up being something laced with fentanyl that winds up killing them. So I know it's something that with my generation, you know, was very common for people to remind you, don't take other people's medications. It can be dangerous for you. Mm-hmm. I think somewhere along the way, we stopped reminding kids of that. We stopped saying it, you know, mm-hmm. don't take something someone else gives you. You don't know what's in it. These days, that is really literal. You don't know what's in it.
Right. And so many kids, they'll get on a social media craze and they'll start taking, you know, massive amounts of antihistamines and things just to see what happens.
Right.
It's so dangerous. One thing I want to talk about, because I talk about it a lot on the show, especially when I have open segments, I can talk about whatever I want. I struggle with mental illness. I know a lot of people do. And this kind of goes hand in hand, the illicit drug use, the abuse of the drugs, the, you know, being addicted to it, and then the co-occurring mental illness. Let's talk about that a little bit. What does the Lakeview Center do to combat the mental illness side of this issue?
All of our clients who come in for substance use disorder treatment are assessed before they are assigned to any program, whether it's residential or outpatient. And that assessment tells us whether or not they also need mental health treatment. Mm-hmm. And so while they're during the course of their treatment for substance use, they are also connected with our mental health professionals and whether or not they need medications or they need to see a psychiatrist. So they when you say co-occurring, we provide co-occurring services. So they get all of that at the same time.
If you have questions this morning, let us know. 850-437-1620. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. My guests this morning, Cindy McLaughlin. She is the Specialty Programs Director at the Lakeview Center. And she brought Maria Thompson, the Assistant Program Director, into the studio this morning. Thank you for the work that you do and for the time and the sacrifice that you put in. Because this, you know, to me, mental health and the fentanyl you know, epidemic, it's these are the two big things facing our especially our youth now. We talk about this a lot with children, but it's not just children. It's not just people who abuse, you know, illegal narcotics. It's everybody across the board now,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Everybody in our community. Talk about some of the different groups of people that you see come through the Lakeview Center.
for substance use treatment. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize that simply taking prescribed medication can lead you to addiction, especially if it's pain medications, can also lead to accidental overdose. I mean, that's what happened with Prince, for instance, you know, taking multiple opioid medications at the same time, you know, and not realizing that it was going to stop his breathing, stop his heart. And so a lot of people may, which is when your doctor asks you what medications you're taking, that's why you need to tell them all of the medications that you're taking. Because if he prescribes you something that's an opioid and you're already taking another opioid that you didn't tell him about, you could wind up hurting yourself. And so a lot of people start out taking pain medication, and it could be only intended for a short term. Say, you know, they pulled a damaged rotator cuff and they've been given pain medications for that. Well, the pain medication can actually be really addictive. And so once they can't get that pain medication legally anymore, then the only option is for them to go find another source for the pain medication, either find someone else who has it legally and buy it from them, or find it on the street. And once you start going to the street to look for it, that's when you start getting in a lot of trouble.
And then you have a group of people that tend to self-medicate. A lot of our population, they don't have insurance or access to insurance, so whatever they can find on the street, because someone introduced them, I feel normal after I got high, regardless of what drug it may be, that, okay, because I feel normal, I'm going to keep using. And they self-medicate. Unfortunately, with that self-medication, you go deeper in the rabbit hole.
Right.
We find that often, too, with our mental health clients. They'll stop taking their prescribed medications. But the symptoms, of course, come back when they stop taking the prescribed medications. And so they'll start taking street drugs, trying to keep the symptoms.
What really scares me is the availability of mind-altering substances that you can find in the gas station.
Yes,
you know, all kinds of vapes and powders and things that, you know, basically get you high somehow legally. You know, they've somehow found a way to skirt past certain laws and regulations and substance guidelines. And then kids are getting a hold of these substances from, you know, like you said, their friends at school give them something and they say, hey, try this. And when people are dealing with, you know, substance abuse, like you said, they're self-medicating for maybe a mental health issue. And then you just go deeper and deeper and deeper. So let's talk about when you know, when they have that adverse effect to fentanyl, if they become exposed to it. We have a medication called Narcan. We hear about it a lot with the law enforcement officers on the show. Let's talk about Narcan. What is that and how do you get it?
Narcan is an opioid antagonist, is what they call it. It's free. You can get it at Lakeview Pharmacy for free. You can get it from the OPUS program. Our program's at 1924 North Palafox on the corner of Palafox and Hernandez. You can get it from us. It will, if someone has overdosed, it will revive them from an overdose. Basically, the Narcan blocks the opioid from attaching to the receptor on the cell that they usually attach to on the cell, and it will revive the person immediately. If it's an opioid that they've overdosed on, it will revive them. If it doesn't revive them within 2 minutes, then it's okay to give the person a second dose because they may have taken a lot of whatever drug that they're using. So they may require a second dose. But Narcan is the brand name for the medication. Naloxone is the generic name for the medication.
Okay. And it seems kind of wild to even think about this, but if you... Do you recommend people carrying this with them, even if they're not doing anything, you know, just having it on them, right?
Yes, definitely. One of our staff members, actually, Eldrick, you want to tell that story?
One of our staff members, Eldrick Robinson, had went to one of the corner stores. And when he was at the corner store, there was a gentleman who was laying outside the front, and he was overdosing. He happened to have Narcan in his car. And, of course, the steps are call 911. First thing you do is call 911. And then he provided Narcan to the gentleman. The gentleman woke up, and he was like, oh, my goodness. And so they had to wait until 911 came. the EMS and to make sure that everything was good, whether he wanted to go to the hospital or not. But just having it, which leads into the Good Samaritan laws.
Right.
It's that most people are afraid to carry it because they think there's a blowback to it. That if I'm high, I'm going to go to jail.
Right.
Or for the younger kids and the young adults, it's that I don't want my parents to know or the community to know I'm hanging out with this person so they don't report it.
Right.
But the Good Samaritan law protects us that we can provide assistance and they're not looking at you. They're looking at the fact that you called. Right. 911 and help this person out.
Which is information that we're trying to get out to people to help them to understand that if you're with someone who ODs, you provide Narcan to them and revive them, you still need to have informed 911. They're going to need follow-up medical treatment. But don't be scared to call 911. That's something that we see a lot. That's why we don't have the real numbers for how many people are ODing because you have so many people who have Narcan on hand and will revive the person who OD'd and they never call 911. Once the person's revived with the Narcan, they just get up and go about their business. Wow. And I've had clients tell me they've OD'd 13, 14, 17 times. Oh. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, and it's like, oh, it's like me telling you I walked my dog yesterday. I mean, it's like it's like no big deal.
Normal part of their life.
It's a normal part of their life. And so we tell people even if the police show up once you've provided Narcan to someone, even if you're holding, because of the Good Samaritan law, they're not going to arrest you or the person that you revived at that moment. Now, if they see you later when it's not an OD situation, that's a whole different story. But at that moment, the Good Samaritan law protects you.
It's all about saving the life at that moment.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know we've had Chip Simmons and a lot of different law enforcement officers on the show talking about that very topic because a lot of people are afraid to call. You know, they really are. But definitely go ahead and call 911. And if you have Narcan, don't be afraid to help somebody with it. How is it administered? How do you give somebody Narcan?
It's a nasal injection. And it's if anyone's ever taken sinus spray, nasal spray, something spray similar to that. Mm. And you insert it and inject it into one nostril. And like I said, generally one dose will revive the person, but if they've taken a lot of something, they may require a second dose. So you give them about 2 minutes. If they haven't been revived by then, you give them a second dose. Each package comes with two doses.
All right. If you have questions this morning, let us know. 437-1620. My guests this morning, Cindy McLaughlin, the Programs Director for Lakeview Center, and Maria Thompson, the Assistant Program Director. You can check out lakeviewcenter.org online for more information. Talking about the fentanyl crisis and the overdoses that we're seeing. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report that drug overdose deaths among youth ages 10 to 19 are increasing. And that immediately, as soon as I read that statistic, I think social media. I hate to be one of these people that just blames social media for everything.
Yeah.
But like I said, this mental health crisis and the drug crisis are going hand in hand.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because if you feel depressed, if you feel marginalized, if you feel like you don't matter because of the things you're seeing on social media, then you will tend to self-medicate. And then that takes you into a whole different world. And man, this is just, it's something that just really scares me. And I would hate to be a youth right now. Social media is hard enough on a 40 something year old man looking at it going, all these people's lives are so much better than mine. But, I think Dave Ramsey said at one time, social media is nothing but a highlight reel and it's not even real.
Right.
So yeah, we have to keep that, in mind there. The Good Samaritan law, thank you for bringing that to my attention because that is something we definitely need to talk more about because people do not need to be afraid to speak out to help somebody.
True.
And if you're a parent, if you're somebody that just hangs around people that you know might be at risk for an overdose and you can carry Narcan safely, do it. Have it on you and don't be afraid to use it. If you have questions, let us know. People are texting in saying, good show, great topic. Thank you for what you do. And I second that, definitely. In terms of the fentanyl and Narcan, Is Narcan specifically for fentanyl, or can it be for other types of opioid overdoses?
It's opioid specific.
Just opioid specific. Mm-hmm. All right. And what year? I can't even remember. But when did opioids become a thing? When did it start getting abused so widespread?
Oh, wow.
What led to this?
Opioids have always been around, and mm-hmm. so we've always had issues with opioids. But I really think COVID put a boost on the use that we've been seeing. I don't know if it had something to do with, you know, people being isolated and lonely and having to kind of live with themselves that created it. But you know, we had a spike in mental health issues. We have a spike in depressions because of COVID. So we've seen a big major spike in especially fentanyl use since COVID.
Well, drug companies actually, you know, were reprimanded years ago for just prescribing too much.
Yes.
Well, actually, the doctors being pressured by the drug companies. So hopefully that will, hopefully we're on the other side of that wave and that will start to undo itself a little bit. Because I remember at one time it seemed like it was the easiest thing to get prescribed something. And nowadays, when you talk to a doctor, it seems like they will do everything they can in their power to not prescribe opioid.
Well, they'll give you 2 weeks worth, mm-hmm. get reassessed, and then step you down.
Right. But it's so easy. I know people, even if they don't have an addictive personality, just a couple uses can really get you hooked.
It can.
Especially if you're dealing with, you know, chronic pain or just a really heavy mental situation.
People don't realize when they're using drugs that drugs attach directly to the pleasure centers of the brain. So what was pleasurable to you when you were not using a drug, say whatever your 10 was on your pleasure scale, when the drug is introduced, it takes you up to a 20.
Ooh.
So like nothing in real life compares to that pleasure afterwards. And so people don't understand that, you know, when we talk about addiction as a disease, it literally is a disease. It literally hijacks your brain.
Mm. I remember Robin Williams said one time in an interview, he said the best line of cocaine he ever did was the very first one. And he spent the rest of his life
chasing that
mm-hmm. one feeling. It's just such a sad situation. We had somebody text in to all of you still out there in parentheses. Mm-hmm. Never give up on trying to recover. I failed countless times until I finally succeeded 20 plus years ago. One day at a time, it can work. So
very true.
Yes, very true. God bless you. Thank you so much for texting in. If you have any thoughts, questions, let us know. We only have about a minute left. 437-1620. My guest this morning, Cindy McLaughlin and Maria Thompson from the Lakeview Center. Check out lakeviewcenter.org. Is it elakeviewcenter.org. Sorry, I didn't read that. It has everything there that you guys do. And thank you for your sacrifice, because this is a sacrifice, right? I mean, you get up every day. I know that this is what drives you and this is your purpose, but it's got to be difficult. You know, what are some of the things day to day that are the most difficult for you?
I think some of the things day-to-day most difficult, and Maria has more one-on-one client contact than I do, unfortunately. I'm a paper pusher now. Mm-hmm. I don't have as much direct client contact.
Yeah.
But secondhand dealing with my case managers, it's mm-hmm. how many times people have gone through treatment and not been able, like the person who just texted in, been able to get their lives back together, and how much they've lost over all those times that they've continued to try.
Right.
But the payoff is when they do manage to get their lives back together, and we've done some little something to be able to help them along the way.
Right.
To do that.
Yeah. Well, I wish we had more time. We're running out of time here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. Thank you for what you do. Cindy McLaughlin and Maria Thompson from the Lakeview Center. Check out elakeviewcenter.org. We'll be right back.